and welcome to another episode of the Being Allowed podcast. If you're new here, my name is Bee Boucher and I'm your host on this very real and raw human experience where we talk about real and raw things, the things we can all relate to that make us human. Maybe the things that we don't usually talk about, you know, within communities or just with our friends. I recently celebrated my birthday, for example, and as birthdays tend to do, it made me very emotional and also very self-reflective to think that I've just spun 360 degrees around the sun, made it full circle to a new year, and this self-reflection I took to my journal, where I picked up an actual pen and an actual paper, and I started thinking about this previous year, about the things that I've learned, the person that I was, the friends that I had, the friends that I made. And I couldn't help but think that one of the main takeaways that I've taken away from this previous year has been just this idea of introspection and self-reflection in and of itself. I have learned that it was through putting in the work to make myself better, through putting in the work to really try to dissect my thoughts and understand why I am where I am, that I was really able to connect with other people and really form bonds, whether that is online or real life interpersonal relationships. It was this introspection that made all that possible. But then as I was reflecting, I really thought again, okay, now that I have reflected, isn't it pretty important for the people around me to also be doing the same? And I asked myself, you know, what is the relationship between my own introspection and this journey of self-learning that I'm on and other people's journeys of self-reflection that they are on? Is there a correlation? Because here on the podcast, we have discussed previous times, several times, that doing the work, putting in the hours to really learn ourselves is crucial to our own growth, to our own self-development, our own flourishing and blooming into, you know, the full expressions of who we're supposed to be. But I had never really thought, or at least like I had never really gone deep in thought about the relationship between my work, the work that I do with myself, and the work that other people do on themselves as well. Is it selfish for people to not do the work? Because usually we associate self-reflection and introspection with the self, the self, the self. And so that can be understood as selfish. But is it actually the other way around? Is it actually more selfish of people to not do the work on themselves? And if so, how? Grab yourself a nice hot cup of tea or coffee or whatever, and let's begin today's conversation. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Being Allowed podcast. Before we begin today's conversation, I actually have a pretty bold request to ask of you guys. I want to really grow the YouTube part of this podcast because there's something about doing this face-to-face or face to you guys that I believe can really help us build closer connection and have deeper conversations. Because now that the podcast is on YouTube, now all of a sudden we have an entire platform where we can be not only leaving comments, but also seeing other people's comments and commenting on other people's comments and really getting a conversation going. So I would like to be so bold as to ask you guys to please hit the subscribe button and please like and leave a comment. Let's begin having conversations. Literally, all you need is a Gmail account. So if you have a Gmail account and you're watching this on YouTube, if you could please subscribe, that would mean the entire world to me. All right, now let's begin today's conversation. So, like I said, I just recently celebrated my birthday, which always, every single year, I have this tradition where I look back on photos from the previous year. And not just photos, I also reread so many of my journaling prompts, and then I journal some more and I do some self-reflection. And I feel like that's always such a great like chapter marker where I can begin like envisioning the new year as a new chapter. And I have found this practice to be extremely effective and extremely fruitful in really putting things into perspective and really helping me see the things that I've learned more firsthand, like more in a condensed version where I'm able to be like, yep, these past 365 days, I learned these things because I experienced these things. You know what I mean? And as I was thinking, I also listened to a podcast interview. The podcast, which I highly recommend that you go watch, is The Diary of a CEO. Stephen Bartlett is the host there. And he was interviewing one of the greatest thinkers of our time, in my opinion. I've read two of his books, currently reading the third of his books. And I like binge consume all his online content like no other. And he is Alain de Botton. Alain de Botton is just an amazing person to go to if you are looking to expand your brain. And not just expand your brain, but expand your heart. And so anyway, that was a little fangirling moment because I genuinely love this guy. But I want to read you a quote that he said on the podcast episode that really, really got me thinking about this concept of self-reflection, right? Because this is something we talk a lot about here on the podcast. Okay, he said, "It is the paradox of human beings. We only know people from what they choose to tell us, but we know our own minds from introspection. So there is a massive cognitive gap between self-knowledge and knowledge of others." And it really got me thinking, if I can only make myself known by knowing my own self, and I want to be known. Like, I want us to take a moment and discuss this idea, right? Because also, as we've said on this podcast so many times before, mankind, we were created to exist within a community. We were created to have relationships, to bounce ideas off of each other, to rely on people when we're going through difficult times, etc., etc. Now, how can we have true, real relationships with other people if they don't know us? How can I call someone my friend if I don't know them? I know someone in my past. I quickly realized that this relationship that we had could not continue. And he had this issue, is that no matter how much time we spent together, no matter how much time he spent with other people, at the end of the day, I would go back, you know, we'd be out or whatever, and I'd go back and I'd be like, do I actually know him? Sure, we're there for the great times, you know, we're there to go grab a drink or grab coffee or breakfast or whatever. But when we sit and talk, how much of himself does he make known to me? And can I really call him my friend if I don't know him? And so I quickly realized, yeah, that was a very two-dimensional relationship. And I was like, yep, new boundaries. I can't be your friend anymore. And that's exactly the point. We cannot exist in relationships or in friendships or whatever if we don't know the people. And we only know the people based on what they tell us. Sure, the closer you get into a friendship or relationship or whatever with someone, the more that you're able to tell stuff about their personality or their character based on what you see. But at the end of the day, it is conversation that's important, and we can only know people through what they choose to tell us. But what if these people don't know themselves? I believe that the issue my friend had was that he never spent time reflecting. He never spent time, and when I say never, I'm not saying it broadly. I'm saying truly, truly. Because I would ask, because self-reflection is such an important thing to me, so I would get into conversations with him and be like, when was the last time you journaled? Or when was the last time you just went on a walk, you, yourself, and your thoughts? And he would say, never. I don't remember. I don't know when. And so how can I get to know him if he doesn't even know himself? And so it's this really close relationship between you knowing yourself, other people knowing themselves, and that is how we form community. I'm like a big advocate for good community, because I went through so many phases in my life where I genuinely am telling you with all honesty, I would not have made it through. I truly would not have made it to the other side if I didn't have people at my back, behind me, supporting me, lifting me up when I was low. So community is so important. We can't even upplay it enough. And we certainly cannot downplay it. And whether or not you've been through an experience that's made you realize, oh my goodness, yes, the people in my life are so important, chances are you will experience something after which you're going to be like, wow, I probably would not have made it through this if so and so and so were not there for me. And so if we want to establish this idea that community is so important, then we also automatically have to consider the importance of self-reflection. And a lot of the time we talk about self-reflection as the I, which is exactly what I've been doing for the past, I don't know how many minutes. I've been saying, I need to sit down and self-reflect. I need to pick up a pen and paper and journal. But at the end of the day, if you're not doing that too, then actually you're being quite selfish. Even though one could argue that it's so selfish of you to be so self-absorbed in your own thoughts and your own experiences as to like repeatedly keep picking up a journal, pen and paper, and dig inside your brain like you know, there's some kind of mystery in there. Well, first of all, there is a mystery in there. It's a pretty big mystery that I'm never going to solve. I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to solve the mystery of who this Bibiche even is for as long as I'm alive. And the assumption is that you're doing the same. So it's actually counterintuitive in the sense that what is selfish is not being self-reflective. It is selfish to not give your mind, your heart, your thoughts, your emotions the time of day to make themselves known to you so that at the end of the day you can say, yeah, I know myself so much better now. And therefore, when you get into conversations with people, you're able to reveal yourself to them. And then, as you reveal yourself to them, the hopeful assumption is that it's a safe space and you're both going to be able to find it safe to reveal yourselves to one another. What does it mean to have two-dimensional people sitting at the dinner table, for example, versus two deep three-dimensional people sitting at the dinner table? Now, I want to share an allegory. It is very known. You probably have read this or studied this at school or something, but it's Plato's allegory of the cave. Now, for those of you who don't know it here, let me refresh your memory or introduce the story to you from the beginning, okay? So we're going to assume that, let's say, five people, they were born in a cave. It's a dark cave, and every so often, some rays of light will come into the cave and, you know, make it so that they can kind of roughly see shapes and figures and stuff. Now, these five people, they spend their entire life, you know, whenever the light comes, making shapes and having conversations based on the shadows. So, you know how when you're in the dark and you do this with your hands or whatever, then shadows will be reflected on whatever surface is in front of you. So a wall, for example. And if there's a rock, that rock casts a shadow on the wall, etc. And so they spent years and years from the days they were born. Just all they knew was this shadow. They only had a shadow experience. Well, what happens is that by chance, one of them, one day, discovers that there's an entrance, you know, or an exit from this cave, and chooses to venture out and discover and explore. And now this person walks out, and all of a sudden, they see sun for the first time. Not only that, now they see a tree for the first time. They see flowers for the first time. They see animals for the first time. They see other human beings for the first time. They see what their hands actually look like for the first time, etc. And so all of a sudden this person goes like, oh my goodness, this whole time I thought I knew what a tree was because I saw a shadow that resembled a tree. But here I am touching an actual tree. I'm smelling an actual tree. Wow, this is amazing. The sun, it's so, so bright. My eyes have never seen anything like this before. These flowers are gorgeous. My eyes have never seen anything like this before. There are colors. There's actual life outside of the cave. You know what I must do? I must run back to my homies in the cave and tell them about this outside world. And so this dude runs back, and goes inside and tells them, guys, so see this like really bright light? That's a hole. It's an exit outside of the cave. Come with me. You won't believe what I found. I found trees. There, I heard birds. I saw birds. I saw flowers. You have to come see this. You won't even believe it until you see it with your own eyes. You know what his friends think of him? They think he's absolutely crazy. They think he's a psycho. They're like, bro, are you insane? Are you crazy? Like, no. First of all, these things do not exist. Second of all, we already know what a tree is because look, can't you see? This is a tree. So you're trying to tell us that you know something that we don't know when we already know. And so they try to plot to kill him. And I honestly don't remember how the rest of it goes. But I really did some thinking as well on this allegory of the cave, insofar as it is concerned with self-reflection and introspection and getting to know ourselves and community. Like, I feel like, sure, he uses it to Plato tells a story to this, or like to express the importance of philosophy and the concept of philosophy. But I want to take it even a step before that. I'm a philosophy lover, so we can talk about the philosophy aspect of this for the rest of life. However, what about if we consider the allegory of the cave to be our minds, to be our characters, our personalities, the depths of who we are, right? We go about our lives and we experience, I don't know, friendships, we experience relationships, we experience work, we experience a bunch of things, like, right? We're living. And we know, right? We know enough. We know enough, and it's sustained us this far. I have existed for however many years, and I've never picked up a pen and paper to journal, and I've made it. And this homie right here, my friend, he also has never picked up a pen and paper, and he's made it. And we've made it this far, and we've been fine this far. But then someone comes at us and tells us, hey, guys, I read this book, and it completely changed my life. And it made me reconsider the way that I do life. It made me ask deeper questions, more questions about who I am and why I'm here or whatever. And you guys should definitely read this book. And we're going to be like, bro, like, nobody has time for this. Also, it's very unnecessary. It's not important for me to read this book. It's not important for me to reflect on a new idea. I feel like I have enough ideas. And what these people are going to think is that this person, this book person, is coming at them and is proud, thinks he's better than them, thinks he has something he wants to teach them, like he's higher, like he's on a high horse or whatever. When the reality is all that this person wants to do is connect on a deeper level. This person has found a deeper level and wants to invite people into this deeper level with them. He's doing work. He is exposing himself to new ideas. He's exposing himself to new ways of thinking. He's challenging his own ways of thinking. What does this person require to be this book person? He requires A, humility, because without humility, even if he reads the book, he's gonna reject it, right? If the book has new ideas in it, he's gonna say, nah, this won't apply to me. I don't need this information. Sure, I'm sitting here, I'm reading the book, but I don't really need to do anything. Heck, if he takes it one step further and says, oh, this idea is actually great, I'd like to think about it, without humility, that person will not be able to incorporate these new ideas into his life. He needs humility. He needs an open mind. He needs an understanding of how incomplete he is and will always be. He will have to have an idea of the fact that he is a work in progress and will be a work in progress until he dies. And a work in progress is a verb. We have to be working. But then what do his friends also need? They also need humility. They also need an open mind. And they also need a new perspective on what it means to be human. This work in progress perspective on what it means to be human, so that they can have the capacity, the mental capacity, the emotional capacity to, instead of plot to kill this person who is coming at us with a new idea, to have an open enough mind and a humble enough mind to consider this new idea. That is what self-reflection is all about, my friends. That is truly a journey that we all need to be on. As I turned 32 a couple of days ago, I really decided to reassess some of my relationships and some of my friendships. And it's purely because of this idea that the older we're getting, the less time we have. And maybe not the less time we have, but the more intentional we're learning to be about our time. We're learning that time is a resource and we cannot be wasting it left and right, you know, with people who aren't on the same path as us, or at least a similar path as us. I'm the kind of person who enjoys doing work. I enjoy digging. That's why I'm in therapy, even though, you know, thank God, like, I'm not currently in the middle of a trauma anymore. But I feel like therapy is an amazing way to keep the work going, to keep myself accountable with someone else, someone who can point a mirror at me and be like, you're not seeing what I'm seeing. These are areas you need to grow. This is something you need to think about. And this is a journey that to some people might seem like a waste of time. It might seem like it is self-centered or self-absorbed, but it's actually quite the contrary. I believe that unless I do the work on myself, unless I do the digging and become a true archaeologist of my own life, of my own mind and my own heart, I will not have anything of value or of substance to give to other people. And I want to be someone whose life matters. I want to be someone who is able to be in a deep conversation with someone with an open mind. I want to be someone who's willing to let their minds be changed. I want to sit here and have conversations with you guys and have you be like, we disagree with you 100%. What you're saying is completely wrong. I want to have these kinds of conversations. And as I have reassessed my relationships, I found that I want to be in friendships and in relationships and in communities that will do the same. Communities where I am making myself known the more that I'm knowing myself. And then communities where I am knowing other people as they are knowing themselves. Because as Alain de Botton says, there is a massive cognitive gap between self-knowledge and the knowledge of others. If we are to experience real, deep, intimate relationships with other people, we need to be experiencing deep, real, intimate relationships with ourselves. And we need to be choosing people who are on that exact same journey with us. You know, we're always going to be surrounded by people who are frivolous with their time, people who refuse to humble themselves enough to have their minds be changed. It takes a lot of humility. And as far as my journey is concerned and my story is concerned, unfortunately, life humbled me in the hardest of ways. So I'm not sitting here saying I'm humble. No. In fact, humility is one of the journeys that I'm on, to allow myself to break the pride that I have oftentimes. That on its own is a journey. But I'm aware that it's a journey I want to embark on. It is a path I want to be on, a path towards humility. I've already been humbled tons by just how difficult this world is, how difficult this life is. But I need it. I need this humility to soften me so that I'm open and available and ready. And you know what this humility does? This humility enables us to have compassion on those who aren't there yet, on those who maybe are too prideful to open their minds to a new way of thinking that we're proposing, a new discovery that we've discovered, this new piece of information that we've uncovered. And humility and compassion are everything that we need in order to dig deeper and do the work so that we can enter into deeper, more meaningful conversations. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here, a part of the Being Allowed community. It would not be the same without you. And I genuinely am very optimistic for this coming period, this new step of taking the podcast to YouTube. And once again, please like and subscribe and share this with your friends. And let's grow the conversation. Let's have more meaningful, deeper conversations. And yeah, I'll see you again here next time.